Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
It's another episode of Stossed in the Latic, and yes, I just said that. I, of course, am Josh, and with me is not Scott, because he is moving into the new studio slash his house right now. So I have a cipher. I scrounged the bowels, yes, bowels of the internet for Mr. Brad Westmar.
I'm here. I'm so excited. I get to be Scott. Should I talk like Scott?
You can't do it. You can't hold a candle to him. I knew Scott Murray. You are no Scott Murray.
No. Believe me, I am no Scott Murray. But I am Brad, and I will be Brad all night long if that's what you want.
I'd prefer that.
Okay, cool.
And hey, Brad, if you were going to buy sex toys online, where would you go?
I would go to adamandeve.com. .com, yes.
Do you know what you would do once you got there after you selected whatever weird butthole items you were going for?
What would we do? Hopefully nothing.
What would you do? What would the audience do?
I would say, honey. Yeah.
Don't forget to breathe.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. Yes, go ahead, please.
You go to adamandeve.com, use the promo code STATIC, and you get 50% off of a single item, 3 free DVDs, free United States shipping, and a free mystery gift that's so mysterious. I don't know what it is. No, I don't actually know what it is. But Brad doesn't know what it is either, so there.
No. I just know that it's cool.
It's free. So and all free, you got to do is use the promo code STATIC. So
excellent.
You are now kind of a sort of movie star, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't know about that. But I'm appearing in some things that are going to allegedly be released at some point.
Can you tell us a little bit about those things?
I can, and so can Lassie back there. No.
Being stupid. My wife's coming home, and they're, oh, my God, you've been gone all day. I got to go crazy.
I understand. I'm sorry I made a comment. I had to. No, I can. What would you like to know? I mean, I'm at a couple of different things. First, of course, Todd Sheets' comeback film, as they're calling it, House of Forbidden Secrets, which is supposed to be released here later this summer, if we ever have a summer. And it's a great film that kind of goes in a different direction for Todd. Todd's known for doing bloody, gory stuff. And believe me, there's plenty of that in this film, but it's got a little more of a storyline, a little more character development in this one. And I met a lot of cool people and had a great time with that. So that's the first project that you've been hearing about.
Well, and then I heard about The Request, which I believe is for an anthology called High Eight, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's for High Eight. It was something that Todd got asked to do. And it's a short film, 10-12 minute film, and a lot of people thought that The Request was actually a new radio show. People were really confused about that for a while. In fact, even people that were a part of the project thought that it was a radio show for a while, and they didn't understand that it was actually a concept and a script that Todd wrote that he did for this High Eight project, which I think will be out here this summer as well, if I'm not mistaken, on DVD. I'm looking forward to seeing it. But we just shot it over a weekend here a couple of weeks ago. And I don't want to give too much away. I know we've already given a few clues on the internet about it on Facebook and whatnot. But we had a great time doing that, too. And again, not the bloodiest of Todd Sheets' films, which is kind of cool. It goes in a little bit of a different direction than usual for him.
Well, now, you used to always make fun of Todd Sheets because, he never has any money and he used to play those old clips. Do you have a little bit more respect for the man now, or will you refuse to ever do that?
Well, on my show, I'll probably refuse to ever do it. But I completely agree with you there, Josh. That's a great question because I did make fun of him a lot. And one of the reasons why, well, first of all, have you seen those films? I mean,
yes, I have.
Yeah, I mean, they're cool for what they are, But let's be honest. I mean, you can also easily make fun of them. And if you have a good sense of humor about yourself, you can make fun of them yourself as well if you're Todd Sheets. And he tries to have a good time with it. And he knows what they were. He knows what he was working with. There's no mystery about it for him. And so we did have a good time blasting him here and there. But at the same time, I mean, I respected him for the hard work he put into those things. Well, when he asked me to do House of Forbidden Secrets, he just kind of believed in me, number one. He just said, hey, look, he's like, I got this part, and I think you'd be good for it. I think you could do it. You'd have to do this. You'd have to do this. You'd have to do this. Are you okay with this? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine with it. I'm like, okay, but let's do this. I want to act again. I haven't acted in a long time. Well, understand, Josh, I'm thinking to myself, this is going to be another one of those shot on video, you know, home video things. It's going to look like Zombie Bloodbath is what I'm thinking. I was going to take it seriously. I was excited to be in a movie, but I wasn't really sure that it was going to be a big deal. And
well, because Brad, we call those things shot on shittio.
You know, shot on shit. Exactly. Exactly. So that was exactly what I was thinking, what this was going to be, you know. Well, to make a long story short, the first night or two of filming, I mean, I realized, you know, how serious he was, and I met all the cool people involved, and I realized that this was going to be something very special, and so I immediately gained more respect for Todd in that regard. And I think that a lot of the Todd Sheets fans out there, most of them, if not all of them, are going to be very surprised at what he's put together. I mean, he still goes for that, you know, that old time, you know, drive-in theater type, you know, feel and look and everything with the film. But at the same time, this is a huge progression, I think, at least from what I know about Todd and his past films. So I definitely have more respect for him in that regard. Definitely.
But you'll never show it to him into his face, right?
No, probably not. Because, yeah, no, I gave him a lot of crap on your show the last time I was on. And, was that this show or the other show? I can't remember. I'm on so many of your shows, I can't remember what show that was. But
it doesn't matter. I give him crap all the time, too, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay, good. Oh, that's true. You do. But no, exactly. But no, to be honest with you, he was fantastic. He knows what he's doing, and that helps, you know.
Tell us a little bit about how the cops showed up, because you are an expert body dragger, apparently.
You know, I got to say this for sure. You know you're doing well. You must be a good actor, or at least a decent actor, or you're faking it really well, which is exactly what acting is. If the neighbors in the neighborhood there, people that live in the neighborhood, and the cops all show up thinking that you are literally dragging a dead body. I guess what actually happened first, Josh, to give you a quick rundown. First of all, a guy from the neighborhood came by and said, "What the hell are you guys doing?" He was shaking in his boots, literally like urinating down his leg. And everybody's like, no, we're making a movie. We're making a movie. And he's like, oh, you guys don't understand what you're doing. I mean, all the neighbors are looking outside, and they're like going, what the hell? They all nominated me to come over and find out what was going on. I'm afraid you guys are going to kill me and everything. I'm freaking out. I'm going to poop my pants here. So apparently I was doing such a good job that they thought it was real. The funny thing, though, if you think about it, and we kind of joked about this already on Facebook and on my show, the funny thing about it is, never forget mind the fact that I was dragging a body 4 million times in bright lights with cameras on me the entire time. You know,
you can't expect them to put it all together like that, Brad. You can't.
I know. But it's still comical when you think about it, you know, So then, you know, by then the cops have been called too. And so about 5 or 10 minutes later, the cops came by, guns drawn, mind you. And that was a bit freaky too. And I kind of stepped over. I was a little leery because I'm like thinking, okay, I'm the guy who's been dragging the body. They're going to probably want to see and talk to me. And they actually never did. I did hear them ask Amanda, Todd's assistant, if we had, you know, do you guys have any props? Do you have any, you know, any fake guns or something? We're like, no, there's no gun in. No, just the fake dead body over there, you know. So cops didn't stay very long, but it was a bit of a freaky experience. And we did think that it was, well, some people thought it would be a great idea or a great thing that would have happened if the cops would have circled me, would have had a helicopter fly over, maybe cap me in the ass or something like that, just to get good publicity for the film. And there's one thing I'm not doing. I'm not taking a bullet in the asshole for Todd Sheets. No way.
I think that should be your new catchphrase. I'm not taking a bullet in the asshole for Todd Sheets.
Yeah, exactly. Not taking anything in the asshole for Todd Sheets.
Well, no. You specified bullet. I wasn't going to go there, but fine.
I know. I had to, though. But that's what happened. You know, and it was kind of crazy because I never really thought. And I got to tell you this, too. I mean, you know, you're dragging a dead body. It's kind of funny because I'm thinking, I literally thought we'd be going out in the middle of nowhere to do it. But Todd's got this thing where he's like, well, we got this little area right here. And it's right by where we had the studio for the radio station and all this. And I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, I guess it makes sense. So at least we're shooting on, you know, his property, where at least where he rents and everything else. So it makes sense, right? I mean, but you never would have thought about the neighbors watching us drag a body over and over and over again. And so kind of funny. I guess I try to put myself in their position, and I guess I can kind of see where they're coming from.
On the same side of it, though, or maybe the opposite side, are you a little irritated that they did call the cops, or would you have been more irritated if they would have watched that and still thought it was a dead body and not called the cops in like a Kitty Genevieve kind of thing? You know, it's not my problem.
I don't even know how to answer that question. I mean, I hadn't really given that much thought. I'm kind of glad that they did. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was just kind of a weird night. And that's the thing, Josh, you got to understand, when you're doing a film with Todd, things just don't, first of all, they never go right. It's just like being on a radio show.
It's Todd.
Exactly. So when things go wrong, things go hokey, things go weird, you know, you just, they kind of become, you know, second nature to you. So it was kind of a cool experience. And I guess I'm kind of glad, but it would have been interesting if they wouldn't have, but call the cops. But I'm glad it turned out the way it did. It's cool.
All right. Well, now that you're a big name actor, or you're about to be when these films come out, Let's shift a little bit to radio, something that you know a lot about.
Okay.
Do you see radio, and I mean in general, I'm not just talking over the air, stuck in an old way of thinking to the point that you think it is a dinosaur and that something like Jackalope, Jackalope is something I truly believe in. I really do, to coin a stupid overused phrase, I do think it is the wave of the future. I think terrestrial radio and even Sirius in that are doomed because they will not back off their business models. Do you agree with that or not?
Yeah, I cannot disagree with that. I have to wholeheartedly agree with that. And I don't, I think about it a lot, but at the same time I don't, because there are so many other avenues and vehicles to get your entertainment from. And that's the cool thing about it. And that's exactly what you just alluded to. I mean, I never, ever turn on the FM radio to listen to any music anymore. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. My wife does every day in the car when she takes the kid to school and back. But I never do. The only radio, actual terrestrial radio that I listen to is occasionally I'll flip talk radio stations, baseball game, sports radio for a few minutes. Otherwise, I'm listening to Sirius XM occasionally, or my iPod in my car. See, so I've got my iPod, my own little thing. I can listen to podcasts there. I can listen to my own music there. It's my own music mix. The only reason I listen to Sirius XM is on occasion I may be able to catch some new stuff. It's kind of a nice way to catch some new stuff on certain stations. But for the most part, Sirius XM is exactly what you said as well. It's about business. The music mixes just aren't what you would expect. It's certainly not what I expected when XM Radio and Sirius first came out. I mean, I think we probably all had visions of, wow, this is going to be so cool, and we're going to hear all this music that, you know, we don't get to hear otherwise. But the problem is that they've gone ahead a lot with a lot of these stations and programmed them like FM radio stations. And you cannot hear, and a prime example of that, okay, I'm an 80s nerd, and I've probably talked about this before on shows, but I'm an 80s nerd. I like 80s music, but not as much as I used to. And one of the reasons why is when you spend all the years that I did in radio playing those 80s tunes, number one, you get really sick of them. And secondly, even that, if you go to a station like a Sirius XM, 80s on 8, they play the same freaking songs over and over and over again. They play all the hits. You hear, I mean, how many times can you play Take On Me by A-ha? It's like the same stuff. You don't hear anything obscure. So where do I get my obscure music? Well, my iPod. I mean, I have my own little way of doing it. Or as you've also mentioned, internet radio. You know, you've got places like Jackalope that – the nice thing about Jackalope is they've got a great set of entertainment, talk radio shows. Some have music, some don't, a great variety. And it's really the way to go because it's not overdone. The business model is for the person on the go. Or I'm sorry, the model of the actual entertainment, I should say, is for the person on the go. And so, I mean, yeah, the bottom line is you're right. FM radio and Sirius XM, it makes me kind of want to hurl. And so you hit the nail on the head for me.
Well, because the way I look at it, like you brought up how they play all the hits. It seems like both FM and XM seem to have this deal where we have – an unlimited library. We've got all these album cuts. We've got all these things, and we're going to play the same 200, 250 songs over and over and over and over and over again until you're sick of them. I mean, how many times can you play a Motley Crue song that was their single before you might want to go, maybe we should just play an album cut? Maybe something that doesn't get played all that often. Is that such a difficult business model to get behind?
No, you know, I don't think it is, and that's what's stupid. And the side of that too, Josh, is of course there are stations that are called deep tracks and stuff like that that do go into some of the deeper, you know, album tracks, but it's very limited. It's very like 70s, you know, album rock. You know, you're not going to hear stuff from the 90s or you know the 21st century on album cuts. And that's kind of what you want. I mean, you really want to open up the door. And for some reason, they think they've opened up the door, but they really haven't. And here's another great example of just bad, bad radio programming. And I think I talked about this on my show a couple of weeks ago. I used to be a Bon Jovi fan. Years and years and years ago, I used to be a Bon Jovi fan.
Have you been wanted dead or alive?
Oh, I just was a couple weeks ago during the filming of The Request. Yes. But to make a long story short, Bon Jovi now has taken over, I believe it's channel 142 on Sirius XM. It's Bon Jovi Radio, TFN, as they promote their new horrible album. And the programming, the music programming is so bad on there. The first weekend I listened to it, just for like, my wife and I went out to dinner, and on our way out to dinner, I heard four of the number one songs, which they've only got like four or five number one songs. I heard like four of them on our way to dinner. On the way back, two and a half hours later, we heard three of those same songs again.
Exactly. Okay? That's the other thing. Because one of the problems, and I'm sure you ran into this back in your real radio days, you would program some songs, and I don't know if you guys had a computerized list or you wrote it down. At the station I used to work at, we used to have it all in the computer so you could see what a previous DJ had played. Right. And then the guy that comes in next would play the same Metallica song that you just played 2 hours ago because he didn't realize you just played it. They do that same shit on Sirius. It's irritating.
It is. It's horrible. It's just horrible programming, horrible. And what I don't understand, I guess more than anything, is if it's commercial-free radio, okay, SiriusXM, commercial-free radio, I'm subscribing to listen to this music. Why are you so fucking scared to play something that doesn't test well? Because that's what all this is about, Josh, in my opinion, based on what I learned in the mid-90s, was it was all about music testing. We had, you know, CDs that were given to us to put in our computer to see, did this song test well? Did this song test well among women 18 to 34? Testing. Well, Take On Me, apparently, after 30 years, still tests really well. And they keep playing that fucker into the ground. And in the meantime, I don't understand. I'm not turning it off if you play, you know, The Sun Always Shines on TV, which was the follow-up to that song, by the way. I don't know why I know that. Because I was in radio.
80s nerd.
But yeah, exactly. 80s nerd. You know, but my point is that I'm not going to tune away because you play that. I'm not going to like not sit through your commercials because you're not playing commercials. So I don't understand why they're so afraid to go outside the box with music programming, especially on SiriusXM. FM stations, they're just so fucked. I am shocked that there's still FM radio playing music and there's still people buying commercials on FM radio when there's so many more avenues for them to advertise their businesses, you know?
Well, and we've got one around here that has probably the dumbest commercial model I've ever seen. It's the rock station here. It's called WAPL, the Rocking Apple. Ha ha, how clever. And they have this thing of 45 minutes of nonstop music where it's 45 minutes occasionally interrupted by the DJ announcing, you know, the next block of songs, and then 15 straight minutes of commercials. What the fuck kind of logic is that? If I know it's 15 minutes of commercials, I'm going to turn away and come back in 15 minutes, aren't I?
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. It just doesn't make any sense.
At the radio station I worked at, the way I did it, because we had so many commercials we had to play and we could figure out where we wanted to place them. And the way I did it was like you play two songs, minute long commercial, couple of songs, 30-second commercial. They're so short and they're such between the songs, people are willing to put up with that. And you're not lost in the clutter. But what the fuck do I know, apparently, right?
Well, I mean, and that's not a bad thing. I don't think you hear anything like that much anymore in radio either. That's not a bad idea. The other idea, and this is kind of more businessy to mention, would probably be to say that they do little 30-minute blocks or 25-minute blocks all the time. And so then their stop sets are only, say, 5 minutes long. So instead of selling 15 minutes worth of commercials every hour, they sell 10 minutes worth of commercials every hour. But they just charge a little bit more for them to make up the difference, but they've got these rock blocks. They're not rock blocks, but they got these music blocks that they can promote that nobody else does. I mean, there's ways to work it in there and do it right, but playing 15 minutes worth of commercials in a row is, I agree, that is just asinine. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it is. And some of the other stations have started to adopt that model, I guess, because stupidity is contagious like a zombie plague. But the way they do it is they stagger it. So when APL has got their 15, I'll turn to OZZ, and they're just coming out of their 15. So you never have to listen to commercials if you know how to dance around the dial.
Yeah, and that makes sense too. But and you're right. I mean, what's the very first thing you do is you when you hear commercials, you switch the channel. And so like you said, if you've got it, but if you know how to do it on the dial, then that works. I agree.
Well, and then you've also got this thing was serious. I mean, you and I each have talk shows on Jackalope, which I think are very well produced. You can hear them. There's good audio, good conversation. Have you heard some of the talk shows on Sirius, Brad? They're terrible, aren't they?
Are they? Yeah.
They are awful.
I've heard that they are, but I honestly have not taken the time to listen. I will take your word for it. I believe you.
Because, I mean, they're just poorly produced. Okay, let's put it this way. Todd Sheets would never allow something this poorly produced to be on the air. Look at Todd's standards.
Yeah.
Because, like, they have ones where they start talking to their producer, who is not mic'd. So all of a sudden, they're like, hey, Joey, would you mind grabbing me this and that? And they just keep that going like that. And then the producer's talking, who's not mic'd. So you're only hearing one side of a conversation because they're live. And I'm like, really? You couldn't have produced this at all or mic'd the son of a bitch you're planning to talk to? This is awful. And they're getting paid $1,000 a week to do this. You and I can't make a damn dime off this. Life is cruel, Brad.
It is cruel. It is cruel. It's not fair. And, you know, when SiriusXM first came out, when both of the two were their separate entities, I think a lot of people like myself, you know, had some hopes that that something could happen there. But I'll be honest, I haven't pursued it very hard, but that doesn't mean that I wouldn't be willing to do it. And it's unfortunate to hear that they have such bad talent on there. And again, thanks for listening to it for me, because that way I don't need to waste my time.
Yeah, exactly. But then but then there's the other thing with Sirius, which is the big, big block that for any of us to get on Sirius. Sirius is you listen live and that's it. No archives, no old episodes.
Oh, really?
And I agree with Todd that that's bullshit and that he, because I know he's talked to Sirius before, and the big sticking point was they said you got to get rid of the archives because why should people listen live if they know in a month they can download it for free? And Todd, and I back him 100%. No, you need to be able to do that. Otherwise, you're not gaining new listeners.
Yeah, and I do agree with that. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. But one of the things that I was adamant about when I came back to do the show here about 2 years ago was the most important thing to me. I mean, and no offense to Jackalope Radio and the stream, but the most important thing to me was to have the thing available on demand, because it was pretty clear, that people are going to this whole on demand thing. And at this point, you know, internet radio, although it's starting to become a little more prominent in cars and things like that, it's not still yet. And so because of that, I hope and expect that most people will download the show, whether on iTunes or whether through Jackalope's archive site, and put it on their iPod and listen to it, you know, in their car or in their headphones or whenever they can at their leisure. The whole idea, of course, with SiriusXM would be that you've got a great vehicle, a broadcast vehicle inside people's cars. So we would be able to be heard.
A vehicle in a vehicle.
Right, exactly. A vehicle within a vehicle. We would be able to be heard, quote unquote, live when the show airs a little bit more prominently. And then they could still go back and listen to the old stuff online. I mean, it made sense. It makes sense to me, too. And they, again, they just don't get it, I guess. I mean, clearly they don't, right?
I think they're stuck in an old business model way of thinking. It's the same thing with magazines versus websites. I know a few people that put out their own independent magazines, which rely on advertiser support. And advertisers don't understand that if they pay, say, $50 for a magazine ad, that they only want to pay $10 for a website ad. And they don't get it that the website reaches 10 to 50 times more people than the print version's going to. But you're willing to pay more for the print version. They're stuck in that old way of thinking that print advertising is worth more than web advertising. I think times have altered that, and they have not changed with it. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a great analogy. I totally agree with that, and I can completely see that. And I'm sitting here thinking about myself in my, you know, in my real business, the business where I actually get a paycheck. And I'm thinking about when people call me up and want me to, have our business advertised in a magazine or on a website. And frankly, I probably subscribe to that old way of thinking too sometimes, you know, where I'm thinking, well, if I'm going to be in it, I'm going to be on the, but a lot of that has to do too with the business that you're in. And I will tell you that the business that I'm in is not really very web savvy either. So it's kind of a catch-22 for me, but no, long story longer, I completely agree with you there. And I can see that people just, old habits die hard, man. They do.
And I think something like Jackalope and some of the other upstarts, because I don't know if when you got into this, you know, the Jackalope version a couple of years ago, and I came to Jackalope 2-3 months before you, so we've almost had the same tenure here.
Uh-huh.
I don't think either of us could have seen Jackalope not only getting as big as it did, but having imitators. We've got imitators out there. Can you believe that, Brad? There are people that want to be like us who somehow think, Brad, I get fan messages from people that think like I'm living like a rock star. They don't realize just how hard this is and how little money we actually make.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. The only reason I like to keep coming back on your show is to hope I can gain a couple of more listeners, since I've only got like 4 or 5. And every time I come on your show, I might gain a new one. And so, but truth be told, I'm in a basement right now staring at a bunch of crap. I'm like literally in my crappy basement. It's glamorous.
Way to destroy the illusion there.
Sorry. And I'm also playing with myself. No, not really.
Well, that kind of goes without saying, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Adam and Eve, baby.
Exactly. Use the promo code static. But but I mean, like, you know, does that kind of disturb you or flatter you that there are imitator stations to Jackalope? And even to – I've seen a couple that they're not overt imitations of Westmar or Radiodrome or anything, but I've seen – other shows out there on some of these imitators that are very clearly styled after various Jackalope shows, even just the topics. Like yours is more of a kind of variety show. I've got the politics show. I've got the movie show. I've got this, which is more nostalgia. There's the geek show. There's Pete. There's more horror, all this. I've seen these other stations that try and have that same type of thing. Is that flattering or insulting? Because I'm kind of right in the middle.
I have to think of it as flattering. I mean, you know, I watch a lot of Shark Tank, and Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, said one time on the show, he said, there's innovators, then there's imitators, and then there's idiots. And pretty sure we weren't the imitators, so that's good. You know, that's a good thing. And we were probably part one of the innovators, you know, with Jackalope Radio. And really with doing these shows, too, I like to think that I was a part of something. I mean, I started doing this about 10 years ago or so. And when I was on the Big Dumb Fun Show, their very, very first few shows. And, you know, so again, I mean, we started this. People saw it. They thought it was cool. They started doing it themselves. And then eventually there's going to be people doing it when it's just too late. They're going to be the idiots. And I don't know, Josh, I try to look at it as flattering. I mean, I guess. I mean, because the key to it is, you know, competition is, I mean, let's be honest. It's competition because we're fighting for people's time. You know, people only have so many hours in a day. And, you know, you just have to grab somebody and make them want to listen to your show and to find time to listen to your show. And as long as you continue to do a good job, put out good content, you know, it's not a threat, you know, so it's more of a compliment. And that's just kind of the way I try to look at it. But there are definitely multiple ways of looking at it. I agree with you there.
Well, do you think you, again, coming from real radio, and I still keep using that term just to get under Todd's skin because I know it bothers him, but you coming from real radio, you know, I used to work in real radio, Scott used to work in real radio. Do you look back at those days with a sense of nostalgia, or do you look back at those days, you know, with what you do now as sort of, my God, that was so archaic, I don't know how I did it?
Well, the first thing I usually say to myself is, thank God I got out. And I got out at just the right time. And I do not wish that I was still in radio. Do I wish I would have done things a little bit differently? Maybe cited talk radio a little bit quicker as my forte. And maybe I would still be in it, but I wouldn't have been affected by all the changes. I mean, maybe I regret that sometime. So I look back at it in both ways. I look back at it at times as, boy, you know, I had some good times back then. And I really did. I went through a lot of crap back in those days too. But for the most part, I'm just thankful that I got out of it more than anything. And you're right. There was a lot of archaic ways of doing things. I mean, you look back and right before I left in, very, very early 97, we had just done our first conglomeration. So we had, instead of just two stations in our place, the FM and the AM, we had, five stations, I believe, in our place when I left. And we had just started some automation stuff let me think now. We were just getting ready to start putting commercials on the computer to be run automatically. So when I left, I was still using carts for commercials in January of 1997. And it's still amazing. You look back on those carts, and I swear to God, Josh, I could get in the studio right now and do an entire show with carts and CDs without a problem. I guarantee it, because that's just the way I knew. But it's so different now, and it was archaic. But damn it. I mean, archaic, and at the same time, that's when radio in the 70s and 80s, that's when radio was it. It was the shit. It was the bomb. And it's just, and plus you got a lot of drugs and stuff for your playing the records. And that was cool too. No, but you know what I'm saying?
You know, how many times you open an Eagle LP and a joint fell out? Come on.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the way they packaged those things back then, people. Exactly. Trust us. We know what we're talking about.
It's true. But so you know what I'm saying. But I mean, I look back on it. Yeah, it was okay, but I'll be damned. I mean, I wished I could have worked in the glory days of radio, but I came in on the tail end. I came in the late 80s and early 90s, and things started to change. You know, music testing, all the different charts, music charts and music promo. Record agencies and things like that. And things got really different when I was in radio. But I look at it a bunch of ways. But I'll tell you, bottom line, dude, I am glad I got out. I really, really am, because it's look at it now. We're making fun of it. I mean, we're like, it's a mess. And so, again, you don't want to be a part of messes. And so I'm glad I'm out.
If you don't want to be a part of a mess, then what are you doing at Jackalope?
Well, yeah.
The awkward silence said more than anything. Yeah. Did any words good?
No, yeah, you know, that's funny.
It's a different kind of mess.
Exactly. It is. Yes.
Well, then do you think that the times have changed the audience and not necessarily the format, such as I'm sure you heard about the April's Fool's Day water in the water prank, right? That got those DJs, yes. I think suspended. I can't remember if one of them got fired, I think.
Right.
Now, that one, that joke had been around since I was in radio. I'm sure it had been around since you were. Do you think that the times we're living in have changed things like that, that you just cannot pull a joke like that anymore in these days of terrorism? I mean, because if anyone took 5 seconds to Google when these DJs said the water supply is contaminated with dihydrogen monoxide, which is water, that everyone just instantly insta-panic. Nobody could have taken 5 seconds to Google that and go, oh, it's water. Oh, and it's also April 1st. Durr.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know as well as I do that we live in a ridiculously overly sensitive society, and it's going to kill us. It's awful. So yeah, I mean, you can't. It's a different audience now. You do have to know, you know, who you're serving out there, and you know, it makes me sick. I mean, I know that you're very passionate about a lot of things that you post about on Facebook, for example. And a lot of times
I think
you're just
rant about.
Well, rant, but you're a passionate ranter, and you. But a lot of times you're just pissed off about people being overly sensitive, and and that's one of the things that I hate. You know, I'm the kind of guy that doesn't want to judge people. I really, really. I mean, it might not sound like it, but if you listen to the undertones of what I'm saying on my show, I am not judging anybody for anything. What I tend to do is only judge people for being dumb. If you're dumb, if you're stupid, whether it's because you did A or B or C, or whether it's because you're just overly sensitive about something, then I'm going to make fun of you. But I'm not judging you for being gay or wanting to, you know, have a gay marriage or wanting an abortion or wanting to get rid of or keep guns. I mean, all that stuff. I just don't care about that stuff. I just don't get, no offense, I just don't get worked up about that kind of stuff unless I'm getting worked up about you just, not that I'm saying you particularly, Josh, but I'm just getting worked up about somebody being stupid about it. And that's kind of where I come from as a person. And I wish that the disc jockeys would kind of be that way a little bit more too and understand that, you know, you're dealing with sensitive folk out there. You know,
but then you've also got, like, you remember the classic Just Lie Back incident from the 70s, right?
To refresh my memory.
I don't remember exactly which station, but in the 1970s, there was a rapist going around Central Park. I guess that was a new thing then. And he had claimed like 10 victims in 2 weeks or something. And a DJ, a shock jock, you know, an early version of a shock jock said, if this happens to you, just lie back and enjoy it. And of course, the shit storm that wound up around that. Do you think we'd ever, I mean, if we were that sensitive in the 70s to go after what was clearly meant as a joke, it was a bad joke, but it was clearly meant as a joke. Are we better or worse than that now if that's where we were in the 70s with Just Lie Back and Enjoy It?
I think it's a clear sign that we're not getting any better. But I don't know. But do you tell me this, Josh? I'll ask you the question. I'll turn it around on you. Is it that we as a society aren't getting any better, or is it that we as entertainers aren't getting any better? Because you know what I'm saying? It's like, really? I mean, if we're going to go through those kinds of jokes again, I mean, is there anything else that we can maybe do, be a little more innovative? I mean, I don't know. You tell me, what's the difference? Is it really society, or is it just the fact that there's just no new material out there?
I think it's a combination of the two, honestly. I think society has gotten far more sensitive due to all the specialty groups. You've got, you know, any group, whether you're Black, Latino, gay, tranny, woman, effeminate man with spiky hair, whatever. Everybody's got a special interest group that's looking out for them, whether they want them to or not. And those people spend all day combing the internet, combing the radio, combing the airwaves, combing newspapers to look for something to get offended by. Yeah. And that, I think, has gotten way worse than it was in the 70s. At the same time, I agree. You can't keep like the dihydrogen monoxide thing. Like I said, that joke had been around since you and I were in radio. It wasn't new. So I don't know why they tried such an old chestnut, but at the same time, it got more of a reaction than it ever did. So technically that old chestnut worked, didn't it?
Well, any press is good press, right? Yeah. I mean, make a good point there. I can't argue that.
So I think it's a combination of both. I think society's gotten way more sensitive and we've just gotten a little less original. I mean, look at how often we excuse outright plagiarism. Look at how Carlos Mencia even has a career when he admits on camera.
Yeah.
He goes to comedy clubs of unknown comics, finds funny jokes, and if he does them on TV first, then they become his. Why does anyone go to his shows? Why do you endorse this person?
That's true. It's hilarious. I don't even know how to explain it. I don't.
You know, it's like the same thing with Quentin Tarantino. Everyone defends his use of all the outright plagiarism that he uses in movies. I mean, when you copy a scene from another movie, shot for shot, dialogue for dialogue, that's a copy.
I can't argue that. I mean, you got me. I can't argue. I know.
You know, it's like Tarantino. He copies movies that he loved as a kid, and he's called one of the most original filmmakers of the 20th century. How can you be original when you don't do anything unique? When everything you do is copied from something else, how are you an original filmmaker? The same as like these DJs, how are you unique when you're just recycling old jokes?
Yeah, and it's a catch-22 in radio as well. I've always joked that if you know you're stealing from me, you're stealing you know two or three times because I've probably stolen it from somebody else, and they probably stole it from somebody else, and it's kind of the way that the things go in radio sometimes. But but at the same time, there's a fine line of originality and creativity and innovation, and so I've always tried to do a mix of the two. Maybe I'm just the Quentin Tarantino of radio.
Oh, no. At least if you do steal and plagiarize, I haven't been able to pick it up.
Oh, thank God.
If you do, you're going from the right obscure enough sources.
Well, thank you. To my credit, I will say, pat myself on the back, a lot of the games and stuff I've been doing recently have been made up by me. So I guess I do a few things. I do a few things on my own. But thank you for that. I appreciate that.
And see, like, whenever I want to use something that someone else did, I try and credit them. Such as, I don't know if you came up with this or not, but I think Quadro Smash is a brilliant idea. And if I ever do a Quadro Smash, which I want to do on this show at some point, I'm absolutely going to credit. I got this from Brad Westmar. I believe he created it.
Let me put it to you this way. My recollection is that it is a derivative of something else that I may have read about. I never actually heard it done, but it's not, mine's not the same. So I guess I get partial credit, maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know,
so then mine would be a photocopy of a photocopy.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my point. Yeah. But you know, if you're going to credit, let me put it to you this way. It's a little bit tough to credit other radio shows on our radio shows if they are more well-known radio shows or more, you know what I'm saying? More heard.
You've only got five listeners according to you. So anything's more well heard than you, according to you.
Yeah, pretty much. And they all listen to your show and my show. And the only reason they listen to my show is because they heard me on your show. So
it's like a big giant clusterfuck.
Pretty much.
A circle jerk.
It's a menage a trois.
Who's the third? Todd?
No. Griff? You want to hear a little secret?
Oh no! Here we go.
I mean to cut subjects here, but and this is one that should be used on my show, but it's a little more hidden on your show here. Sometimes the Batcave. And a Batcave, of course, is the executive producer's studio there where Todd sits during my show. And sometimes it smells really, really bad in the bat cave. And I've realized something. It's not Todd. For example, the other day I came in with Todd and Todd smelled freshly clean, like he had just recently taken a shower. Like you, he's a nighthawk, so he gets up at, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon.
Like me. And
exactly. So he, this is past my bedtime right now, by the way. And so he came in, he smelled good. I could tell that he was not, you know, had just rolled in the dirt or anything. It wasn't a dead body or something that had been being drugged by me in the backyard. And so we get inside and we sit down and he's in the executive booth there. And I come in and I'm like doing a couple of things. And I'm like sniffing around going, what is this funky ass smell in here? And then I look up and I realize he's got all of his superhero outfits that he wears at Comic-Cons and stuff hanging up in that little stuffy bat cave. And he sweats in those things for like 8 hours at a time. They smell awful. Thank you.
Can't you get those like dry cleaned or something?
I'd like to ask him, but Todd Sheets has no money.
That's true. He's always on the run and he has no money.
Exactly. Exactly. So there's a little inside little tidbit about Todd Sheets in the Batcave there. So.
Well, and I know you and the more horror guys have a little rivalry. I don't know if that's real or not.
Not really. I've known Tim and Griff for a long, long time. And in fact, I was just at Tim's 40th birthday extravaganza here. We saw Evil Dead, the new Evil Dead. Oh. I saw it for the first time. Yeah. And I've known those guys for a long time. So we like to play around.
Well, so where do you see the future of the Brad Westmar show? Are you just going to stick with the one show or are you going to go my route and take over the whole network?
I don't have the time. I just don't, you know, I'm old and I've got a young child and a wife and a full-time job, a real job. And, you know, it's tough. And I gotta be honest with you. I can't believe I used to do a 3-hour show for nothing. Because I have a hard enough time planning this 1-hour show. But I think one of the reasons why I have a harder time is, and we may have talked about this before, Josh, but it's harder to plan for content of a 1-hour show because you realize, look, I don't have the time to be like just talking in circles for 25 minutes. Now, when you're doing a 3-hour show, you can kind of do that for a while because you got 3 hours to fill. But on a 1-hour show, you want to give people something that they're going to be thinking about for a while and listening to and have them be intent.
To be direct and concise.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, I try to plan things out a little more direct and concise. Now there's times when that won't happen. Obviously you come out of a show. I'm sure you do too. You come out of a show going, well, that really sucked. And then, you know, you get the best feedback from shows like that sometimes, you know, it's a crazy.
Sometimes, story. Not often, but sometimes.
Sometimes you do, you know, so honestly, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And as long as there's people out there listening, you know, and that I feel like people appreciate it. And right now I got to tell you, and I say this to all of our listeners, I feel great about it because I know that they're out there listening. I know they want a show. And that helps me want to do one for them every week. Because if I didn't know they were there, it'd be really, really hard to want to keep doing it. But so I'm just going to stay on course for now and keep doing what we're doing.
And I think you guys are doing a good show. I'll admit I'm a little behind on listening to the new one. So maybe you started sucking in the last 5 weeks. I don't know because I'm a little behind. But I've always been a big booster of your show. I've always told people. And I do know we have a lot of crossover listeners.
A lot
of people that write me, they're like, yeah, I also listen to your stuff and I listen to Westmar and Pete.
That, you know, that's great to hear. And I think if you're going to listen to three shows that at least kind of hang in the same area of, I don't know,
irreverence
and insanity and intensity. Those would probably be the three shows you'd want to listen to on Jackalope. Now, let me ask you this real quick. I don't want to take control of your show, but just in case there happens to be somebody listening right now to you and me doing your show, and they're like, who's this Brad Westmar dude? Okay, tell them in a nutshell, in a couple of sentences, what my show is like in comparison. What do you get from my show that you're not getting from Pete, for example, or that maybe you're not getting from necessarily from Lost in the Static?
to me, the Brad Westmar show is, and I mean this as a compliment, it's very much like a time capsule of a 90s style, almost like what, if Michael Savage were not insane, what a Michael Savage show would be if he ever learned how to have fun. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a very complimentary way of putting it, because I mean, quite honestly, my whole concept of doing talk comedy / variety entertainment radio came from some shows that I was listening to in the 90s. So it makes sense that you would say that. Definitely.
It's very much, I mean, your show, and like I said, some people might consider that an insult, but it's not meant as one. It's very much a 90s style show. It very much is, with you and Matt and Jared and of course Batman back there. Just the way you guys interact, the way you do the goofy games and things like that, even the ones that are rigged against Todd and he somehow still wins, which happens more often than it's feasible, but still.
Hey, what do you hear this week's show if you happen to listen? So yeah,
like I said, I'm behind by a few weeks, so it's gonna take. I will get caught up though. But
that's cool. I know you will. I know you will. And I agree with you. And that's cool. I take that as a compliment. I mean, I'm trying to do something different yet not, you know, so I like that. That's cool. And I hope we can gain at least one new listener and get our listenership up to 6.
I don't know. I think it'd be really good if you can break double digits.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it? We'd have to, I don't know, pay the RIAA more or something probably. No, I don't know.
We don't pay them anything anyway. The RIAA are a thug organization, Brad. Come on.
God.
They are.
I know. Believe me, my old show, I mean, we did a ton of stuff about the RIAA on my old show, and don't even get me started. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's another thing that puts Jackalope up nice above some of the competitors. The competitors don't have music rights. Jackalope right. does. That gives us a huge edge, because I know at least two other shows that have joined Jackalope within the last year that said, I wasn't interested in doing this, but then I found out I can legally play the music I want to play. Hell yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, about 6 or 7 years ago when the RIAA developed Sound Exchange and was trying to take away, you know, internet music, we're trying to actually increase internet music royalties and all that stuff. We went into a situation on my old show where we had to stop playing the regular music too. So we started playing indie music, which I didn't have a problem with at the time. But it was a pain in the ass because I had the band sign off and the whole nine yards. And then the other part, too, if you think about my show now, you know, all the music that I do play on my show for games or for bits and things like that, I couldn't do that anymore either. So just a pain in the ass to not be able to do that kind of stuff on a show that, like a show that I run, you know.
Well, would you ever consider doing a show under your real name? Because here's a hint. His real name's not Brad Westmar. I'm not going to out you, but just his real name is not Westmar or
no, it's
Brad.
It's true. No, it's well, that's kind of true.
Sort of.
The truth of the matter is I don't really shy away from that much. In fact, I've actually alluded to my real name a few times on my current show. But I don't think people have caught it. I mean, people that know it probably don't catch it because they just know me by my real name. But yeah, a lot of people think that Brad Westmar is my real name. And one of the reasons why I use it is because it does seem, at least from my perspective, have a good ring, and it makes people remember the name Westmar. It's pretty easy to remember. So,
well, if we can dip back into the 90s, how did you come up with Brad Westmar? Did you just not want to use your real name in real radio or what?
Yeah, well, my real radio name was on the radio was BJ Bradley.
Right. Okay. Which morphed into Brad Westmar. Cause I remember the way you put it was BJ didn't mean what it does now back then.
Yeah. That's part of it. Yeah. When I came to Kansas City, I was on a, message boards were really big and they're still out there, but I know they're not as big as they used to be. You know, places like, you know, Twitter and Facebook are places where people hang out now. But there was a place in Kansas City called kcforum.net, and it was just this message board of people just, you know, shooting the shit, on a forum. Well, I needed a name, and I came up with this name, you know, Westmar, and I just became known on there as Westmar. That was my ID. That was my user ID. And so when I started doing internet radio, it kind of morphed from Westmar to, hey, why don't I throw a first name in front of it to kind of give me a little bit more, you know, humanize myself a little bit more. So I'm not just this character, you know, on a forum. And that's kind of where it came from, because you're right. The whole B.J. Bradley thing, it worked in radio in Sioux City in the 90s, but it just did not work anymore here in Kansas City.
Except maybe in San Francisco, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. In San Francisco or in porn or something like that. Yeah, exactly. But so that's kind of where it came from. And it had a great ring. The old show was called the Wild Wild Westmar Show. Most people understood what that meant. Some people thought it meant I was wearing chaps and doing some kind of Western thing. But that wasn't what it was about. And then I just kind of decided when I did this new show to just kind of shorten the name and just make it the Brad Westmar Show. But it's really more the Brad and Matt giving Todd crap show. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, he deserves it.
Yeah, I agree. I love giving it to him.
And you know what? He's actually pretty good at taking the crap.
Surprisingly, he is. You would think that a guy like him. It took him a while. When I first started doing the show, I said, look, you know, you're not going to have a very, very big role on this show. I said, I did just too much Todd Sheets all over the place. And
I remember that there's too much Todd Sheets on Jackalope Radio already. Yeah. That was like, he used to play that as a bumper.
Yes, I did. So we called him Batman. We pretended like he wasn't even Todd Sheets. We called him Batman for a long time. For the first several shows, he was not supposed to speak unless spoken to. In fact, there were times when I was trying to get him to just write. If he had something to say, I wanted to write it down and hold it up. I didn't want him to talk. But it was hard to get him to do that because Todd's not much of a writer. He's more of a talker. And long story short, he came out of the closet Exactly. It became Todd Sheets on the show. But he does play an important third wheel role on the show, and I'm glad we've got him. So.
I think with all the crap he gets on your show, my show, Pete's show, he's like a power bottom that just can't get enough.
I think you're right. And that's why it's crazy that he actually had me in his movies after all the stuff I say about him. But, I mean, Josh, you know, we've explored his childhood on my show, too. I mean.
Yeah, I know you always pick on his mice.
Oh, yeah. That's why I find it so funny that you have all those crazy animals roaming around your house, too.
I don't have that. I got 2 cats, 3 dogs, 4 rabbits, and a couple of guinea pigs. It's not like I own a zoo.
That almost sounds like a farm.
On that note, we got to go. We're out of time. Where can people contact you? They can obviously listen to the Brad Westmar Show on Jackalope, but where can people contact you if they so wish?
Well, I love to be contacted via email. That email address is brad@bradwestmar.com. My website, which I'm very proud of that I don't blog enough on, is bradwestmar.com. Very simple to find, too. And you can also find me on Twitter. That's @bradwestmar. Very simple to find. And also on Facebook. I believe my actual show page is facebook.com/westmarnation, I think, is the fan page there for the show. So
it's really, really nice that you know almost where your fan page is.
Well, you only got 5 fans, right?
I mean, there's no incentive, right?
Exactly. There's no incentive to remember it. But please, the best place to find me at all times is bradwestmar.com. My email's on there. You can email me there. Or, of course, as you mentioned, on jackaloperadio.com as well.
And you can find the show. We have the Facebook page, Lost in the Static, 1201beyond.com, which is back up and fully functional.
Yay!
And yeah, the Vietnamese hacked us off the air a while ago. And you can contact the show at lostinthestaticshow@gmail.com. Have a nice night, guys. Say good night, Brad.
Oh, good night, Brad.